I want to thank each and every one of you for the opportunity of being here today, and for all of you who have been hosts and hostesses for me, Bill, Joanne, Reverend David, Reverend Sheila, thank you so very, very much. And I was, the services began, Reverend Sheila came up to me, and she asked me if there was anything else that she could do for me. And I thought that was really wonderful, but I cannot tell you everything I said to her. But it reminded me of a story about my grandson when he was about 4 or 5 years old, and we were at Fridays. And so he was of the impression that he could have whatever he wanted. All he had to do was ask for it. And so when the waitress went around to everyone and asked them what they wanted, he heard them telling it. That's some very interesting music, isn't it? Sometimes we have to get in sync with technology. And perhaps that technology is saying that there's a message to this story. Okay? That's the affirmation. There's a message to the story. So thank you for the prelude. So the waitress was going around to everyone, and she says, "May I help you, or may I take your order?" And so everybody was just like, "Yes, I want ice cream. I want this. I want that." And so when she came to my little grandson, she said, "And young man, what can I get for you?" And he looked down, and then he looked up at her, and he said, "A puppy." So, within the depths of our spirituality, we really believe that whatever we desire, we can have, right? And we're looking for some level of unprecedented favor. But a lot of times when we think about unprecedented favor, sometimes we have to earn it in order to feel the entitlement. And there are processes that we can go through. And as children of the King, of children of the Most High God, we have to look within the depths of our beingness and recognize that we have authority and that we've been given dominion over all things. But a lot of times, there have been experiences in our lives which have made us feel a little diminished. And even Jesus, when he was discussing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees about his ability to create miracles, they asked him by what authority was he able to do these things. And, you know, one of the things that I really love about his response is that he usually goes a little higher and a little deeper than the question that is asked, right? So he responded that, "Does it not say in your own scriptures that ye are gods?" And if we go back to Genesis, it says that we are created in the image and likeness of God. So the highest level of our spirituality has us entrenched in a level of anticipation. So like a child, we can ask what we want and it will be given to us. But on more than one occasions, what we wind up doing is playing small. I remember when Marianne Williamson said, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure." Take a deep breath. Move into that power consciousness. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, my brothers and sisters, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. You are a child of the King. Therefore, you have inherited a level of entitlement that you must sink your spirit into in order to realize your potential right here and right now. Your playing small does not serve the world. Hello.
Thank you, Shiv.
There is nothing enlightening about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. Breathe into that and gently release. Ah.
Teach.
We are all meant to shine as little children. I had the pleasure of teaching two classes this past week during SEE. And that takes a lot of coordination, and it takes a lot of participation and dedication and commitment by everyone who is in attendance. And during the course of our, I think, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore class, somehow we wound up discussing different types of music that is inspiring. And one of the songs that really touches my heart and resonates for me is by Neil Diamond. And Neil Diamond says, turn on your heart light and let it shine wherever you go. And you shine so that the whole world can know who you are as children of the Most High God. And so somehow during the course of, the period that we were discussing that, we wound up talking about E.T. And remember, when E.T. was ready to go home, he said, E.T., go home. And then his little finger would light up. And so we came up with a way of appreciating one another by acknowledging our heart lights. And then we would touch one another's fingertips. So we're turning on our heart light. And as your heart light is being illumined, you take that energy from the external, from the eternal, and plant it in your heart light. And like E.T., you go home. I think about the Olympics and how fabulous a time it is, where all the most brilliant, energetic, dedicated personifications of perfection of the human spirit is exemplified by the young people across the globe. Now, to become an Olympic champion, it requires dedication, commitment. It requires enormous sacrifice. And some children at a very young age have to leave their parents and go to other parts of the country in order to refine their skills and refine their talents. I know I was looking at the New York Times and I saw this exquisite young lady suspended in midair. And I thought that was one of the beautiful sights I had seen. I love a wonderful ballet. I've always been astonished about how people who have developed a level of agility within their bodies can make a synchronization between the mind, body, spirit connection and create wondrousness. I also thought about how Michael Phelps, who won, was it 19 gold medals last year? 21. He cumulatively up to this point has gotten to 21. But I haven't been watching the news. But what I was going to say is that remember when he was saying that he felt that this would be his last year? And that sent out a wave of energy, I think, across the universe. That, if this is his last year, maybe he's not as great as he was the previous year. Okay? Because thoughts are things. They project a field of energy. And when you have that energy resonating across the water waves, guess what? Somebody else believes that it's their turn to be an Olympic champion. And they use they used him as a prototype for learning what it took to become a champion. And I remember hearing about, I didn't see it, but someone said, I think it was the young man from Italy, the Go champion, he was so elated and so excited. And you know, when we see a champion at the height of accomplishment, it doesn't matter who they are, we celebrate their victory, don't we? But when we heard that he went for the gold again, we were all elated that he is now at 21. So we all have to be very conscientious about what it is that we're pursuing. And we have to keep our mind at such a state of elevation and consciousness in order to achieve our objectives. I thought it was interesting when I looked at the Olympic Games and the motto of the Olympic Games. And the words are Latin. It's Citius Altius Fortius, which it means faster, higher, and stronger. And I look at that, if I make a parallel comparison between being fast, I kind of change it a little bit about having a sense of knowingness, a sense of a deeper realization of whose I am. And to get to that state of realization, I must raise my level of consciousness to a higher plateau so that my existence will be fortified in such a way that I am stronger when the storms of life may come and take me off my foundation. But I'm rooted like the tree that is planted by the water. So the branches of my being, the leaves of my existence, they may sway with the wind. They may be tossed about during the seasons. But I am grounded in faith and in truth. So the SEE classes that were orchestrated this past week helped me to remember. And I feel taking classes and participating in different activities, the more classes that you take, the more you are fortified. So you're faster, you're stronger, and you have a higher plateau for living. So the fact that there were so many classes going simultaneously, and there was a blessing that was received by everyone that was in the class. And you know, when you watch the Olympics, sometimes you have independent champions being representing other parts of the continent, right? And then sometimes when you look at it, they are part of a dynamic team. And you are a part of the dynamic team that is here at Walnut Creek. And so when you look at one another, let's not just look in gentle passings that we're just here by chance. We're all here by divine decree. We're here to live more magnificently. And when we recognize the Christ and the Spirit of God that is existent within each and every one of us, when we come to the realization of whose we are, then we can acknowledge the fact that we are all champions and we're all on the same team. So please, look at three people and say, we're all on the same team. Isn't that scrumptiliumptious? It's a wonderful feeling. The Olympic symbols that are on the flag, they're interlaced rings. Just like we are, we're interlaced on a cellular level with one another. We're interlaced on an intergalactic level with one another. And we have to come into the recognition of that interconnectedness. The five colored rings on the flag, they're colored blue, yellow, black, green, and red. And they're interlaced with each other. They represent five parts of the world: the Americas, Europe, Asia, Africa, and Oceania. Isn't that something? We are wonderfully and beautifully made. And God knew us before we were knitted in our mother's womb. I was watching a commercial with Michael Phelps, and it appeared that he was in the English Channel, and he was swimming through the channel, and you could see the Olympics in front of him. And you could hear him saying during the commercial, "To get to the games, you can't buy it, you can't hope for it, you have to earn it." And I thought about that in life. We have to be aware of the game of life. And every day we have an opportunity to play out that game in a way that is magnificent through our states of consciousness. I remember with my grandson, who had a challenge, and yet having a stable space of consciousness during the course of an ordeal that was extraordinarily challenging required enormous faith on our part. Because when my daughter says that, she started to tell me what was going on when he had to go into the hospital, I said, "No, I don't want to hear that. I just want to pray for him." And I later found out that he had taken a, not dynamite, a firecracker during the 4th of July, work with me on this, and put it in a sewer. And of course, there's a lot of gas there. And so when he knew that he wasn't supposed to do it, he stood back thinking his mother was watching him. And when he found out that she wasn't and the firecracker hadn't gone off, he lifted up the thing and looked down in it. And of course, that's when it exploded. But let's not go to the explosion. Let's fast forward to the potential that, even as disastrous as that potentially could have been, there was a more divine opportunity on the other side. So when my daughter was trying to tell me this, when I was turning my car around to go to where she was at the hospital, I said, "Be with him in prayer." And so a friend that was with me, she says, "What did she say? What did she say?" I said, "Could you just pray with me?" And then as we arrived at the hospital, into the emergency area, he had been admitted to the hospital. And so the Spirit of God that's within me said, "Don't think about yourself. You have to travel through many wards within the hospital to get to where he is. And during that period of time, you're going to," I guess for lack of a better way of interpretation, "be part of a team of people that are going through similar situations. And so you have to be a beacon of inspiration no matter what you're going through. Because if you want what you're going through to be better than where you are at the time that you're going through it, you got to see beyond yourself. And a lot of times, to see beyond yourself, you got to give of yourself to other people." And so as I'm walking through the corridors, I start smiling at people that were in pain or anguish and grief. As I walk through the cancer wards, as I walk towards through the parts where there were other things that were going on. And you know, when you look into the eyes of one another, you alter the paths of perception of where people are at that particular point in time. And through your compassion and through your love, you accentuate the principle of hope that is residing within them. And so when I arrived to where my daughter was sitting, and she was looking at my grandson, and he was looking at her, and she had eyes like Superman, like she could pierce through a steel wall. And those eyes were giving her son an enormous amount of faith, like this is going to be all right. You're going to make it through this. And so the doctor comes in at that point and he says, we're going to take the bandages off tomorrow. And I'm thinking, oh, gee. So, you know how although we want to be strong, there are times when we feel that things are a little bit too much, that there's been more put on our plates than we potentially can handle at that time. And so we waver a little bit. And so that morning, when I got up, I was wavering in my own fear. And so when I walked into the hospital and went into the where he was, the doctor says, you arrived just in time. And so when they took the bandages off, he went into a place of shock. And it occurred to me, you know, kids, when they're 4 and 5 years of age, they have cartoon characters that they love. I asked him, I said, when he was in shock, I said, who's your favorite character? And he said, Pikachu. Thank you. And I said, why do you like Pikachu? And he said, Pikachu is a transformer. Okay? And he says, Pikachu can transform himself into anything. And I said, do you believe you have the power to transform yourself back to who you were before this occurred? And he's, all of a sudden, the tremors stopped. And he said, yes. He had to learn to adapt through the perilousness of his situation. He had to learn to adapt to disfigurement. And so we had to go on with our regular lives, and we took him to church with us. And you know, in Scripture it says, if there are any sick or ill, let them go to the elders of the church and let them pray for them and anoint them with oils. So on that particular Sunday, I was speaking, and I asked him to come up. And some people who hadn't seen him since he was sitting in the front part, they gasp. But you know what? God is so good, because prayers changes things. A year later, the doctor called my daughter, and she said, and he told her, we need Miracle Mario to come to the TV station, because we want to show a miracle. And so 17-year-old Mario today has no singes on his eyelashes. His eyebrows grew back and they continue, and his face is perfect. And so we'll pray for him for other things, you know. Hold him in prayer, Lord. Okay? So we can transform our lives by transforming our thinking. And when we have members who are on the same team with us, they can hold that sacred space so that in those times when we falter or we may not feel as strong as we potentially can be, then there are those who hold the high watch for us. I was with Reverend Diana McDaniel yesterday, and she says, you know what? I was telling her a little bit about my talk in the Olympics. She said, we have a hero amongst us. I said, really? She said, yeah, Reverend David MacArthur. And I said, you are absolutely right. And she said, before they called it, he was. And she said, he is a champion of forgiveness. A champion. We look at champions from a physical standpoint, but he is a champion because within the fabric of his soul, he cultivated his spirit in such a way that he has taught everyone the power of forgiveness. And Reverend Sheila is offering that and has written a fantastic book about it. And if I hope I have my facts correct, is that today he's going to be a recipient of an award from the World Forgiveness Alliance. I always say, hail to the champion. David, wherever you are, God is, and we're with you. One of the great things that I have learned through reading and teaching scriptures is how to create the altar of God within myself. And so there is a slide that says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, from whom every family and on earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, that you may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inward parts of your being, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, to that end that each and every one of you will be rooted and grounded in love, and you may be strong enough to apprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of the Christ Spirit that is dwelling within each and every one of you. That Spirit which passes knowledge, that you might be filled unto the fullness of God." And so it goes on to say that we shouldn't be afraid, because God did not give us a spirit of fearfulness, but a spirit of power and love. So when the storms of life rage around you, when you feel that life has become a little bit much, when the diagnosis would have you falter, that is when you become fortified. That is when you accentuate your faith. That's when you remember the story of Mario, my grandson, when we had to stand on this. "I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." And in scripture, we're reminded to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That means that when you're in that state of conscious awareness of something far above and beyond, but dwells within the very fabric of your being, that there is something far greater than that which is reflected on a mortal plane of consciousness, when you begin to be the author of your life and not allow your life to be written by someone or something else. You are the author, and you have the pen, and you have to take the time to rewrite your destiny. And you have to feel that you have the authority to do that. And you feel that you have that right and that authority when you know whose you are and not who you think you are. So I invite you to seek always to cultivate or bring into visibility individuality, not personality. Always remember that personality is of the human and individuality is of God. In proportion as one increases, says Charles Fillmore, one must decrease. So whose are you? Who do you believe in? What do you believe in? Do you allow someone else to define the reality of your being? Are you so fortified that you can do this on your own, so you elect to do that on your own? I want you to affirm this with me. Together, I am a child or manifestation of God. At every moment, his life, love, wisdom, power flow into and through me. I am one with God and am governed by his law. And in scripture, we're also reminded, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Jehovah. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts than your thoughts." So as we align ourselves, as we move through life and recognize that there is perfection, There is a blessedness. There is a divine entitlement that is flowing in and through us. And that there is a magnificence in the sunsets that we can watch from a distance of a mountaintop. Or we can arise within our souls and create that same magnificence by recognizing whose we are. Then the beauty of who you are is going to be greater, and it's going to be amplified because you have taken the time like an Olympic champion, and you have cultivated that which is within you that is so magnificent and so divine that there is no one else like you on this planet or any other universe. And so you can no longer afford to be diminished. You have to be amplified and fortified in truth. And it goes on to say, and I beseech you to walk worthily of the calling wherein you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And Emily Cady says, the whole business of your Lord, the Father in you, is to care for you, to love you with an everlasting love, to note your slightest cry, and to rescue you. So my beloved brothers and sisters, my partners, my teammates in the game of life, I love you, I appreciate you, and I behold the Christ in you. Thank you.